that was the wonderful Bluemount Lumber with a fantastic track called St. Luke's Freakout, Tuesday 3 p.m. I was just saying, we've all been there. Matthew, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great.
It's lovely to have you in the studio. We've been very much enjoying that track. We were both just chatting off air about our St. Luke's Mall experiences, I guess you could say. What's the impetus for that track?
That's like, so I work really close to St. Luke's, and like it's a place I go to quite a lot. And one day my wife was at home sick, and she was like, she texted me and was like, I really want a Subway cookie. Like, that's like, you know, that was like, it wasn't like as direct as that, but it was like, I feel like I've got this weird craving. This is the one thing that's going to make me feel not like shit.
Yeah.
I was like, it's fine. Like, I work by St. Luke's. I'll go pick you up some cookies on the way home. And I was like, at Subway St. Luke's, like waiting to pick up like 5 or 6 cookies. And someone, like while I was in the queue, someone on Uber Eats bought all the cookies that they had there. And
no,
it was just
just
this like intense feeling of like I couldn't do anything in that situation. Like, someone else wanted the cookies.
Yeah.
That's fine. Like, that's, you know, I'm not going to get mad at like a service worker about that. But like, I was just like, I just wanted to go outside and scream. I was like, this is like, I've never felt so like functionally useless.
Oh my God.
Like in this one moment. And like, yeah, that's kind of like, that's a unique St. Luke's experience for me. But I feel like most times I go there, which is very often, like I have, there's something similar happens to it, you know, to some degree.
Yeah. And I feel like also there is something super particular about being in that mall where you like, you run into everyone you never see anywhere else. You see all these people that you like kind of know, and it's always your worst. You're never at your best when you're in St. Luke's.
You're never looking good in St. Luke's.
No. And like, we should know better by now, right? Like, because like, we've all had that experience like 500 to 600 times. Like, you go there and you're like, I'm not going to see anyone. And then you see everyone. It's just like, it's where everyone goes to be a piece of shit. I love it. I love being there. I don't want to give the impression that it's not great. I do love it.
But, and it also serves a very useful purpose as well, you know? Sometimes you just got to go to Kmart.
Yeah, you know, Daiso, it's like, it's got everything. It's got a Starbucks.
It has. It's got all the things. So this is the first single, and you've just put out a new excellent track called Sun Revenger, which is great. I love the kind of like crunchiness of these songs. The sound is awesome. What are you working towards here? Is there a bigger body of work in the makings?
Yeah, it's so there's an EP on the way. Kind of like I'm working to my own schedule here.
Nice.
Like, I don't have anyone else pushing me, which is great, but it's also shit because it means that I'm working to my own schedule. So the intent was originally that I would have that done by the end of last year, and I just haven't finished it. But now there is an EP on the way. I'm hoping to get that out kind of in the next sort of couple of months. I've got a few other tracks that are sort of marinating at the moment. But yeah, basically the idea, like, Blue Mountain Lumber is a project that I've kind of been sitting on or doing stuff with intermittently for the better part of a decade, which is kind of crazy.
Nice.
And it was sort of last year I was like, I don't know. I think like lockdown and COVID in general was just like, I was like, if I'm not going to do anything with this, like I'm very quickly running out of time to do something with it. So I might as well just give it a fucking go, push the boat out a little bit. And yeah, basically the aim at the moment is to get that EP done, sort of get 5 tracks and a few that I've got sitting in the vault. And then start playing them live.
Cool.
Once that becomes a thing you can do again. I always wanted it to be a band, like when I started it sort of 2012, but had kind of just moved to Auckland and was a bit of a, like, you know, was a bit scared to kind of make something happen. And now I'm just like, I'm older and more jaded and less afraid of going outside.
Yeah.
So, that's the plan.
Cool. So you've played with many great bands that people know. Emily Adrosa's band is one of them. When you're playing with other people versus making your own stuff, what's the difference for you? How does it feel? I guess there's a different type of expectation or pressure you put on yourself.
Yeah, it's really different. Like, playing in Emily's band was amazing because like I've known Emily for probably close to 14 years. Mm. Like, she's a very good friend, and like the great thing about that project is like Emily is very much the author of that project. Like, you know, whether it's her playing solo acoustic or whether it's a band, like she's very much in control of what that sounds like and what it is. And like, she was very, you know, it was a very collaborative band that we had there. But I didn't, you know, there was no expectation on me to go in and like write a bass part you know, like do an arrangement. It was like, you come in and like, if you had an idea, like, you know, you could share it. But it was just like, that was the first time I'd been in a band for like 5 years.
Yeah.
And it was great just like going in and being like, there's no weight on me here. I can just like,
totally.
As long as I play my parts and like don't, you know, drop my bass on my feet in the middle of a song, we'll probably
You're
be
doing
sweet.
Well. Yeah.
And this is obviously really different. And because I'm not like at the moment directly collaborating with anyone, there's a lot of, you know, that kind of uncertainty creeps in a lot of the time. Like Sun Revenger is a song that I probably wrote. I'd say I wrote like north of 80% of it within 72 hours of starting it. And
yeah.
I was like, okay, this is sweet. This is going to be done like by the weekend. And then I just hit the wall.
Oh,
and like,
yes.
I got
we
into
all
that,
know that
like,
feeling.
It's the most punishing thing. And
that's when you kind of want a band to be like,
totally.
Here's the last 20%. You
yeah,
know,
you
like,
want someone to be like, stop turning the drums up and down. Like,
yeah,
you know, like,
yeah,
that's fine.
Good.
Like, just
yeah.
record a guitar solo and like bounce it.
Yeah.
Put it on Bandcamp and shut up. So that was like where I was at for ages. And like, honestly, when did I release it? Last week.
Yeah.
So probably 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, I gave up on it. I was like, nah, it's dead. Like, I've cooked it. I've just like, yeah, I've boiled it down for too long. It's just like a pile of smoking bones at this point. And then like 2 days later, I was like, oh no, I think I fixed it.
It's all good. Yeah.
So I was just like, I can't sit on this for any longer. I need to just drop it.
Exactly. Well, I'm glad you did, because it's a great song. And I wonder who do you bounce your ideas off when you do hit that wall, or when you're working on a track, do you play your demos for other people, or is that absolutely no way territory for you? How do you kind of push through those blocks?
There's no one I really go back to like super often outside of my house. I play my songs to my wife quite a lot, because like she's probably got better taste than me. Like she's less like prone to just like looking at a shiny thing and being like, oh, this is incredible.
Yeah.
So like she'll tell me when it sucks. But the other person actually, like, I've got a 5-year-old and I've learned that you know, he doesn't have a filter. Like,
no,
if I play something
and
he's like, this is like, you know, he's not going to be like, the melody for this, like, doesn't make sense. He'll just be like, this is annoying and I hate it.
Yeah.
Like, can you stop playing it? I'm trying to watch Pokemon. So he does, shout out Henry. He's hopefully listening. He might be watching Pokemon at the moment. But,
fair enough.
It's good having that in the house. There's people, like, I send stuff to Emily quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
There's various people, like, there's people that I'm talking to about being in the band when the band's a thing.
Cool.
But you know, just like, I don't want to burden anyone with these songs when I'm not like, these are great at this point. I kind of get to the point where I'm like, okay, I want people to hear this and then send it to them. And then just hope that they don't message me back like 2 days after I post it being like, nah, that's what, why did you do that?
It's good to have some of that immediate feedback then from your home as well. So you don't, you know, you've got a good team to tell you if it really is not quite ready to hit the band camp yet.
Yeah, the street team.
Street team's good. Tell us a wee bit about Sun Revenger as a song. What's the gist of this one?
So Sun Revenger is like something I've been trying to write. Oh, I think that the original notes for the song have probably been in my phone for like 5-6 years. Like it's been bouncing around for a long time. And it was like, I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't figure out like what it was about.
Mm.
And then it was just, I don't know. It was like when I was just like looking at a couple of other things that I had and realized that, like, you know, I hadn't figured out the through line for the song, but the through line for the song was basically futility. And like this idea that, like, you know, I'm in my 30s now, but like I spent, you know, the better part of my like adolescence and my young adult life, like just like kicking back against shit, like for and for no good reason. And it was like this kind of like this like therapeutic moment where I was like, oh, like my whole identity for like 15 years of my life was just like getting mad at the sun, you know, like like this idea that like if you preempt, you know, if you destroy the sun before it burns you,
yeah,
like you'll somehow be able to like work against the immutable forces of the universe. And it's like and it's kind of like taking that and finding power in it, you know, and like trying to make a little bit of like a, it's sardonic I think, but like a little bit of a joke about it. Like the line in the first, with a couple of lines in the first chorus, like, I can feel a weight being lifted, conceal all of my fears in the ball of my fist. Like, it's,
yeah,
it's like, you know, that idea that, like, for ages I was like this kind of like angry person, like, wasn't like a violent person, but I was like, you know, that was where I was at for a long time. And it was because I was like, well, if I'm angry first, then, like, you know, if I'm if I'm the aggressor in this situation, then the universe can't crush me.
I feel like that's quite a good sort of song, maybe, for the times we're kind of in at the moment, because so much is out of our control. You kind of have to find some sort of peace with that, because otherwise you just burn yourself out.
Mm.
So maybe that's kind of a secret pandemic anthem.
It's good to have an outlet, I think. And it's good to recognize that, like, having an outlet isn't the end of it. But, like... Yeah, I think that's it for me. And this is very much a time for for needing an outlet.
Totally.
Which is why I'm making music again.
Well, I'm glad you are, because it sounds awesome and we're enjoying playing it. So I reckon we should jump into Sun Revenger now. Thank you so much, Matthew, for coming in and speaking with us. Looking forward to the EP a lot. If people want to find Blue Mount Lumber, what's the Bandcamp to head along to?
I believe it's bluemountlumber.bandcamp.com, which is just bluemtlumber.bandcamp.com.
Easy as. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.